three magic money-making words. It's Harvard calling. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Harvard raised more money last year than any U.S. college ever, $1.16 billion in the 2013-2014 fiscal year, eclipsed Stanford this time around. This from the Council for Aid to Education. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour is here. What's with this Harvard? It's in Massachusetts somewhere.
Yeah. Well, Harvard did so well in part because it's kicked off a capital campaign. But actually, this was a good year for most universities and colleges. All in all, they received almost $38 billion, which is a huge increase, $3 billion over the previous fiscal year. And a lot of this has to do with the stock market. A lot of gifts to schools come in the form of stocks or securities, and this past fiscal year was tremendous for stocks.
So Harvard is not alone in this windfall?
Well, it is and it isn't. You know, we see with college giving what we see with personal income these days, palpable growth in inequality. Less than 2% of colleges raise 30% of the money, and colleges at the bottom end suffer. And even when you look at the donors, the percentage of alumni who are giving is falling, but those who do give, give more.
All right. So where's the money going quickly?
Well, in that same vein, a lot of it, 44% of donations are going to financial aid.
All right. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour. Now, it's good to be Apple after their dramatic 38% increase in profits last quarter. At Yahoo, there's new money on the way, but the mood is not as jubilant. Under pressure from shareholders, Yahoo is transferring ownership of its remaining stake in the Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba. This has the effect of raising $39 billion for Yahoo. But what is next for the internet content company? Max Wolf is chief economist at Manhattan Venture Partners.
I think we're very likely to see some combination of the following. Yahoo may be pursued as an acquisition target, and if not, there's going to be enormous pressure on the senior management at Yahoo to show they can grow ad revenue and that they can start to spend some of the money they do have on really accretive and exciting acquisitions.
Accretive, meaning boosting the stock price. In pre-market trading, Yahoo's up 6.8%. Now, there are advertisements and there is journalism, but increasingly in places like Wired, Vanity Fair, and The New Yorker, the twain shall meet. Their publisher, Condé Nast, announced this week it's assigning content specifically paid for by sponsors. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
Condé Nast is taking a big step in the direction of what's called native advertising. It's ads that look like journalism stories.
Native advertising is all the rage.
That's media consultant Ken Doctor. He says Condé Nast's venture isn't the first of its kind, but Doctor says it does raise big questions.
So at Wired Magazine, for instance, the new 3D smartwatch comes out, and you're expecting to get Wired's take on this. But what if Samsung is actually paying to have their ad about the 3D smartwatch written by a Wired staffer?
Publishers' ad revenue has shrunk as more competitors pop up online. And Doctor says you can charge a lot more for native ads. Media consultant Alan Mutter says readers need to be on guard.
We have to do more work than ever before to figure out what's real and who to believe.
Mutter hopes Condé Nast will help readers discern truth from spin by clearly labeling its paid content. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
The number of school-age children who don't have a regular place to sleep is up 85% since before the recession, but the resources available to help have remained flat, in part because the federal agency that deals with this uses a definition of homelessness that excludes most of these kids. There's a bill set to be introduced today in Washington that attempts to help. Aaron Schrank of Wyoming Public Radio reports.
On Katie Jeffries' 17th birthday, her mom kicked her out of the house, and she spent 4 months living on the streets of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Jeffrey stayed in hotels, friends' places, cars, even a shed for a couple of weeks. All the while, she worked to finish up her final year of high school.
Worst part is nobody really noticed that I was homeless because I showed up every day to school and I did what I had to do.
States with small populations, like Wyoming, have seen some of the biggest increases in homeless students but have the fewest resources. In Cheyenne, there are shelters for adults living on the streets, but nothing for unaccompanied minors like Jeffrey.
If I was a 35-year-old ex-con, there's housing, there's jobs, there's no problem. I'm a 17-year-old female who's trying to finish high school, and I was given a box of food and a blanket and told to stay out of trouble.
Kids who, like Jeffrey, are crashing temporarily with friends or in hotels account for the majority of the country's homeless students. But the Department of Housing and Urban Development only counts people sleeping on the streets or in shelters as homeless. Barbara Duffield is with the National Association for the Education of Homeless Children and Youth.
80% of the children who are identified by public schools are not considered homeless by HUD and are not eligible for some of the critical services that they need to get back on their feet.
That's why lawmakers have introduced a bill that would amend HUD's definition to include the rest of these kids. Opponents say the change could mean fewer HUD services for homeless adults, but Duffield says prioritizing students makes sense long term.
By not paying attention to the urgency of child development now, we're actually creating a system where adult homelessness is being perpetuated.
Sponsors of the Homeless Children and Youth Act hope to see their legislation taken up by Congress this year. In Cheyenne, Wyoming, I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Marketplace.org is the portal to our corner of the Digiverse. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.